Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Thank you, Terry, and welcome to every person that is with us today. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Alice Benton is here,
hello.
And so is Mylon Yurkovich, and greetings to you.
Well, hello there. It's great to be with both of you.
It sure is.
Yeah, always fun. It really
and,
is.
And I'll just mention that Alice and I saw the cover of Understanding and Loving Your Child in a Screen-Saturated World.
Mm-hmm.
Really great that comes
boy.
Out. When's that come out, Alice?
August, next year.
In August of next year. But right now, I want to introduce you to Nick Harrison. Nick has, he and I put together the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional. And if you're watching on YouTube, New Life YouTube channel, you're seeing it. Nick, welcome to New Life Live. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You are one great writer, a brilliant expert in the area of addiction recovery. How'd you get to be all that, Nick?
Well, you know, I've been a writer of devotional books for several years, and how the addiction book came about is kind of interesting. I was on my way home from a writer's conference. I stopped at a coffee shop. The fellow in front of me, young guy, early 20s, he was placing his order, and I could tell there was something wrong. But when he turned around, having finished giving him his order, he offered me his gift card, and I said, no, that's all right, you'll use it some other time. He said, no, if you don't use it, I'm going to throw it away. I used it, but, you know, I was haunted by his condition. He was obviously high on something. Within 24 hours, another event like that happened, and God just gave me a burden for all the people who, whether it's drugs or sex or gambling, whatever the addiction, if it controls your life, it's holding you back from a greater destiny that God has for you. And my goal has just been to see people set free from whatever their addiction is.
Hmm. Well, that's what we all want here. One of my favorite devotionals is yours right out of 1 Peter 1:15-16, and you start off by saying, holiness gets a bad rap. And that's just the kind of writing that you do, and it's so insightful. If somebody was struggling, what do you think this devotional would do in a year of using it? What do you think? Wake up every morning and you use the Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, 1 year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional. What do you think might happen with them in their struggle?
I think they would find their new identity in Christ. We're new creations in Christ when we become Christians. And I think after a year of being reinforced with the idea of you have the ability to overcome this in your new creation and the Holy Spirit living within you, reckoning the old self dead, as in Romans 6.
Yeah,
that,
surrender.
And then there's one other thing that I really want to stress, and that's, you know, as important as it is to overcome the addiction, which is certainly paramount, there's also the aftermath of addiction. There's the
mm-hmm.
shame, there's
yes.
the feeling of failure, and I really think that sometimes the enemy entices us into an addiction for the very reason that he wants to pile all that other garbage on us, the condemnation and shame. And I want the reader at the end of a year to realize that they're not only set free from their addiction, they're set free from the condemnation as well.
Amen. Well, nobody ever gets delivered from an addiction into instant character. This will help you build it. Gift of any amount, I'll send you a copy of the 1 year Life Recovery Prayer devotional. It's a great resource. If you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. Nick, thanks for joining us. We'll have you back, and we'll be talking about this little devotional all year long. You're listening to New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. Mylon, I was just talking, I mentor some people coaching, and I suggested, well, if you're going to do this marriage coaching, you have to read the marriage book, was that How We Love. And so he got it, and he said, man, this is changing my attitude. And I said, I knew that it would. So thank you for that.
Well, and, you are welcome, and it changed our attitude first. Then we wrote the book because of the principles inside of that we applied to our own lives. So it's fun to be able to say, yeah, that book helped me too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and anybody, you can get a copy at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, but that's what we do at our marriage intensive. We use that material, and it is spectacular. And you can find out about the marriage intensive, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number that you call. We're going to be doing that in Washington, D.C. No, we're not.
Dallas
on October 21. That's where it is, 10 days before Halloween. And some of you will be able to take off your mask this year for Halloween because you've come to intimacy in marriage. Let's go to Lee from Seattle, Washington. Listens on the New Life app. Anybody could. All you have to do is download it. Hello there. Lee, how are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What's going on?
So, my brother, last year, him and his wife separated. He came out to us that he is bisexual. He is now dating a man. And this weekend, he and his boyfriend came home so we could introduce us all to him. My parents and myself have a hard time with this. I have a sister who is very, very much for this with him. And so anyways, he was here for the weekend, and it was very, very uncomfortable. They were incredibly affectionate in front of each other, and actually this morning I discovered that his boyfriend is actually into drag, he's a professional drag queen. And I don't know how to navigate this. I have three kids that are 12, 16, and 18. And my 18-year-old herself is struggling with bisexuality as well. She has high-functioning autism. I don't know how to navigate this. That he knows how we feel, we found it was incredibly
difficult. Let me help you. I want you to answer a question. When you say home, whose home are you talking about?
So he lives in another state. My parents, myself, and my sister, we all live in a different state. He came, and he is staying with my sister.
Okay.
So we were all over at my sister's to meet them.
Why?
Why is he staying with my sister?
No, why would you take your 12-year-old over there, or your 16-year-old? You weren't obligated to take your kids to meet your bisexual brother's lover. There was no obligation there. Why did you? I'm just curious.
We've actually, we've been a part of a support group for gay families for a while now. And the one thing that they've always said is, you know what? You love them. You love him for who he is. And you don't affirm him, but you still accept him for who he is. And that's what we thought we were doing. We thought, we can go.
I'd like you to let me talk here because you called for some advice.
Sure.
I have people in my family. I've thought about this issue more than 5 minutes because I've had two family members that this has been a part of their life. So here's what I would say. He wants you to accept him, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, does he accept you? Does he accept that you have different values? Because it goes both ways. And if he had accepted you, he would have said, hey, I'm going to bring my partner with me. And I just wanted you to know that. It's just not going to be me by myself. And I know you've got your kids, and I know how you feel about things. I was just wanting to be sure you were aware. And then you could have said to him, hey, I'll drop by. I absolutely will. But you weren't obligated to take the kids. And I just really believe that we need to love and accept. And like you say, you're not endorsing by loving and accepting. But there are limits to that because you are who you are also. Now that I've said that, let's hear from, well, how about you, Mylon, and then we'll go to Dr. Alice Benton first. Alice?
Alice?
Lee, you are in an incredibly difficult position, and I'll admit to you, I struggle to know how to apply what the Bible says about cross-dressing and homosexuality as I try to love people in my life that struggle with this as well. And it is, I don't think it's incredibly clear. I think it is a gray area about how to be in relationship and how much to expose ourselves and our children. Now, it's particularly difficult for you as your 18-year-old, you said, is struggling with her own thoughts about whether or not she's bisexual. Would you clarify your question for us about now what do you need from us going forward as you see that your brother is going to be openly affectionate with his partner in front of you and your children?
So I guess really, like, my mom and I both feel like we, and I told her I was going to call you, and she said, please ask them this as well. We kind of feel like we almost have to, he's a narcissist. So it's all about him. And so if we aren't going to accept him, he's very adamant on this. So we don't know how to navigate, you know, spending time with him. He is my brother. I love him very much. But I don't know how much I can be around him if he's going to do this. Now, we didn't ask him ahead of time not to be affectionate, because honestly, we thought we don't have to. He knows our stand on this, but it was very, very blatant.
And if you were to ask him now, along the lines of, I love you, care about you, I want to be able to be with you again, there was more affection than I was comfortable with, as you know our beliefs, would you be willing to limit, to eliminate that the next time that we're together? How do you imagine he'd respond?
I don't think that he would respond well. Because in his mind, this is the way he is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. We need to accept this. We need to just love him as he is, and we need to accept this lifestyle of his.
So then his answer influences your response. So you might decide, if that's the case, brother, if you're not willing to limit or eliminate that physical affection in front of my kids especially, then these are the ways that I can be in relationship with you. Would be glad to have phone calls with you. I would like to see you personally, maybe me and my husband when you're in town. But I am willing to have my kids with you if and when those things are not taking place, because I need to support and protect my beliefs that I'm trying to teach my children. And so this is how I can be in relationship with you, and then these are the ways that I cannot be in relationship with you. And you're free to choose, and this is how I have to choose to protect my values. How would it be for you, Lee, to take that stance with your brother in a calm, loving, kind voice?
Well, he's only here for a short time. He's leaving tomorrow, and so I had decided I was going to send him an email. Kind of just addressing the fact that I was disappointed by this, and I felt it was disrespectful. There also was a situation with his partner where I overheard his partner making an inappropriate comment to my 18-year-old.
Okay, so real quick, why would you send an email when he's still in town? Why wouldn't you just go over there and talk to him?
No, I'm going to wait. He's here. He leaves tomorrow. Like, I don't even think that we will be seeing him today. I'm going to be seeing him and his partner in a little bit here for a bit. I don't know that we are going to see him tonight at all anyways. And tomorrow he leaves while my kids are at school.
I just think about maybe saying it out loud. Mylon, do you have any thoughts here? Because I've got one final big thought.
Lee, Alice had a great question. Dr. Benton asked you the question, how would you feel if you were very direct with your brother and said these things that Alice suggested in a calm, clear manner, how would you feel doing that with him in his presence and perhaps also in the presence of his current partner? How would you feel?
I am a non-confrontational person. Okay. That terrifies me.
Right. And you have been a non-confrontational person your whole life. You grew up non-confrontational.
Yes.
So right now it's very hard to be confrontational when, in fact, you have a lifestyle and decades of reinforcing, I don't want any confrontation. You see, your brother, and you described him, his narcissism, but he was really blatant and in your face with respect to the presentation of this partner. It was very in your face.
Absolutely.
It was very, very much a blatant oppositional appearance. And sadly, very sadly, the LGBTQ and all the other letters that are currently attached to that, plus, they don't accept disagreement. If you disagree, and what they require is if they've made a decision, you must accept it now. You can't have a history that is your history. You have to accept it and agree and endorse it now. And that's really one side. It's not a mutual acceptance.
No,
and so it isn't fair.
No.
And when people call me or make reference to somebody who disagrees as being a phobe, homophobe, or a person who's a hater, I go, no, I am not those things. I am simply a disagreeer. And the people that I have close relationships with allow disagreement and allow us to have different opinions on things. And if a person doesn't allow me to have a different opinion on something, you may love him to pieces, like you said, but he's not a safe person for you. And there's a difference between a love that you have because he's your brother and whether he is safe. And I think it's really sad, but he was very confrontive and oppositional to your whole family.
And Lee,
hearing
that you avoid conflict, girl, I want you to know I'm a people pleaser, conflict avoider in recovery myself. And I want you to know how brave I think it is of you to pen that email, because it is terrifying and even paralyzing to bring a difficult truth to someone we love who we know will disagree with us. So I support you writing that email. And I hope you can keep working on your assertiveness to be able to bring it to him face to face someday as well.
I agree. Now, let me give you a quick story. My middle brother was gay. He died from AIDS. He and I were very close. We had a wonderful relationship. I wrote a book with him and for him before he died. We were very close. I mean, we had many laughs, a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. When we moved to California, he knew that I accepted him and loved him. He wanted us to live together and split the rent. And I said, Jerry, I just can't do that. Huh. Why? Because it's one thing to love him and accept him. It's another thing to be around guys coming in and out of the house and all of it. I just didn't want that for me. I had the right to not want that for me. I wanted to live alone more than anything and get my bearings being new to California. And I didn't fit. I had a bumper sticker, Fort Worth, I love you. It was just ridiculous. So I needed time. But anyway, you might look at me and say, oh, how judgmental, you wouldn't live with your brother. No, I didn't need to live with him. I didn't have to live with him. And when I said, no, I won't, our relationship continued to be absolutely wonderful right up until the end of his life, and he changed many lives himself. So I just hope and pray that something we've said gives you and other people the message you can love and care about another person, but you don't have to set yourself up to be flagrantly violated, insulted, disregarded, demeaned by the behavior of another person. In fact, you'd think that they would, at the first meeting, have had a little conversation and says, you know, it's so wonderful that they're going to meet us. Why don't we not be too overt about anything? Let's just kind of ratchet back. a little bit. I ratchet back all the time. I'm ratcheting back right now as we go to this break. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number. Come join us for New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I want to be sure you know that we've got special pricing for Lumina November 3rd, November the 4th. You can pick a day. Hope and pray that you and another person or three people get three people at $69 for the whole day. What an experience. Jen Wilkin, Nicole C. Mullen, Lauren Green McAfee. These are Bible teachers. They're great, dynamic folks, and you'll have an experience. I don't think you'll forget it. I think you'll be talking about it for years. And all you have to do is go to newlife.com, click on the Lumina banner, and see what we've got to offer there. I hope you'll join us there for Lumina. It's going to be at the Museum of the Bible. Now, let's go to John from Los Angeles, listening on Sirius XM, satellite radio, 1 p.m. Eastern. How are you there, John?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Doing all right.
Great. Awesome. So I got a little backstory, then I have a question for you at the end of this.
Okay.
So I'm 50, living in L.A., the question in general has to do with, you know, meeting somebody, because L.A. obviously is a very liberal city. There are not a lot of Christian women here. I mean, you might find more in Orange County and stuff, but I've tried the dating apps, and those are just kind of, you know, full of flaky, shallow people, and, you know, I mean, not to judge people, but it's not necessarily the most Christian-based system of meeting somebody. I go to a new church out here. I've been going to another church pre-pandemic for about 12 years. And I found a new church recently that I really like, with a good mix of ages. But I've established a business here in Los Angeles with a lot of clients, and I make pretty good money. But I guess my question is, in light of everything, should I up and move to, like, a more conservative city or state in, like, Texas or Florida, or trust that God, you know, would work things out where I'm at? Because obviously if I moved, I would take a pay cut, and I'd lose all my clients that I built up here.
Okay,
just,
so I got
kind of
a question for
thing.
You.
Yeah.
So has anybody ever talked to you about what prevents meeting more people or prevents commitment or things like that? I mean, have you ever dealt with that side of it? Because I'd hate for you to move and then, you know, you discover, oh,
right,
wow, you know, this kind of thing. So have you done any of that kind of search or work on yourself? I'm just curious.
You mean as far as, like, finding other places to fellowship more here in L.A.?
No.
Or?
No, not exactly. Oh. But most people, that if they want to be married, they will marry before 50. And so you want to be sure that there's nothing there other than that Los Angeles is very secular. But there
yeah,
are
John,
great,
it's like it's like Steve is saying, is L.A. the problem or is John the problem? You see, that's the question
right
here. Is there something inside John right that struggles in relationships? And so that begs the question for the examination of your history of relationships. I
right
mean, if you're 50 years old and have never been on a date,
No, I've been on plenty of dates, yeah.
Okay. And then, but, you know, Steve asked a great question, is why was there no commitment, or why could you not develop those into a stronger relationship? And that's the question. Is,
right,
is it John or is it L.A.?
It might be both. I know that I have a hard time with intimacy. I know that I've had a couple opportunities in the past that have came up. It was more of a long distance type of thing, but I've sabotaged a couple things. I have a tendency to kind of sabotage my life at times by having good things come into my life, and then I'll create a snare for myself that keeps me from having a good thing that might be given to me by God.
Steve, why don't you pick it up right there, Steve?
Well, I see, so... First, I've got a little book. Is this the one? It's all about dating and being sure that you get dates and don't move too quickly, but don't move too slowly either. But also, we need to find a copy of Henry's How to Get a Date mm-hmm. Worth Keeping. Great book about being more available. And I think that could help you there. But I would hate to see you move. And then wherever you move, you're just experiencing the same thing, except you don't have the great clients and stuff. I would recommend
right.
that you do one of two things. Either get a great, great therapist, or get a combination of a great men's Bible study and a great coach. But you need some ongoing help in taking care of you. See what happens. After a year of you not just going to see a counselor once a week, but being involved with a group of men. I've got a men's group tonight. Can't wait to go. First night, didn't want to go. So you get in there, and it really, really can impact your life. So you need a group. You need a therapist. You need books here. And you need to make yourself available and seek out great relationships. I think that's a better plan than just picking up and moving. Alice, do you want to say something in the last 7 seconds?
Just support that. Having a coach, John, who would help you engage in some self-evaluation, as well as looking at how have you actively pursued a higher level of exposure to more new women so that the dating field expands. Commit the time to doing that prayerfully before the choice to move.
All right. 1-800-229-3000. Love to talk to you. Always love to talk to you. And we'll try not to talk back. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. You know what Zephaniah said in 3:17? The Lord your God is with you. Now, do you believe that? If it wasn't true, old Zeph would not have said it. God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. Now listen to this. But will rejoice over you with singing. Word has it, God has a very beautiful voice, and he wants to sing over you. If you don't believe that, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can help you to reach that point where you believe in a God who's got rules, but he's also got a loving relationship for you. Speaking of relationship. Larry Sonnenberg has wonderful relationships with more people than I've ever seen anybody. Larry, welcome to the studio. How are you today?
Thank you. Doing great. Thanks, Steve.
What have you brought our way today?
Well, every man's battle is coming up. October 7, 8, and 9, right here in Orange County, California. And I have a testimony here from a gentleman that recently attended our workshop. And it's short, but it's powerful, I think. He said, I came to Every Man's Battle after falling back into pornography after 7 years. Mm. I immediately realized that the key components missing in my journey was community, vulnerability, and connection. The message from Every Man's Battle is reinforcing, strengthening my understanding of connection. So it's a simple testimony. We have a lot longer ones, and I'll share those another day.
But yeah.
My goodness, you know what? There's three key components, and he was clean for 7 years, and he fell back into it. And you want to get a handle, guys, so you don't have that happen to you. Or maybe you already have fallen back and you need help. So give us a call and talk to us about how to sign up. If money is ever an issue, you let us know that too, and we can offer you a scholarship.
Wow. But also, if you can help with there somebody, I mean, get a scholarship for them, mm-hmm. especially if you've been helped by Every Man's Battle. It could make all the difference in the world. So please, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, a gift of any amount, I'll send you the 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. A lot of people, a lot of shame. Comes out in anger, bitterness, resentment, fear, all sorts of things.
They're not looking.
So please, any amount, we'll send that to you. And also, gift of any amount, if you'd rather have, we'll send you the Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the 1 year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional. Life can be very, very different and very, very good. I was just reading that a gentleman was working in a coffee shop, and the homeless people from the mission were discharged every morning, headed to go for a walk, get out of the mission, and they walked by the coffee shop every day until finally one of the people said, "Why don't you come on in and let's have a Bible study?" Well, the Bible study, because it turned out to be a life recovery Bible study. And then that became six life recovery Bible studies all over the community. Mm. One person makes such a mm-hmm. difference when things are okay in their life. So don't let little things stop you. God wants to transform you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have been fortunate that he has helped, or he's allowed us to help folks in that transformation process. Thank you, Larry.
Alrighty.
Right now, let's go to, well, how about we go to Nancy from Tampa, Florida, watching us on the New Life Live YouTube channel. Nancy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. I've got a little, little achy knee. Other than that, thanks for asking. Okay, so how can we help you?
Well, I have a daughter who's been struggling with alcoholism for about 9 years, and she has a daughter, and basically, very long story short, she was raped at 14 when she lived with her father, and she's got a lot of issues, but every time that she does drink, she's the sweetest, kindest, most tender-hearted girl, but when she drinks, she becomes very mean. She's lost custody of her daughter because of the drinking, and the blame always goes to me every time. And I'm at the point where I'm just, you know, I've tried everything with her.
What have you tried? What have you tried when you say you tried everything?
I've taken her everywhere. I've taken her AA. We've taken her to rehab. She walked out 3 days later. She lived with us for a while. She left. And it always turns out to be a guy every single time.
Now, let me ask you this. Yeah, let me ask you this. Because a lot of people go from the bottle to a body, and it just happens all the time. Now, how does she support herself?
That's the thing. She is a, you know, what they call a... what do you call that person that does so well when they're working and they get home and they just start drinking? She's a...
like a functional alcoholic?
Yes. She does real well. She's a caregiver for the elderly, you know, in their homes.
Yeah.
And
sounds like to me... sounds like to me it would be a good idea for her to stop drinking. Because, you know what? It's not gonna be this way forever. We call them functional alcoholics because we contrast them with those that drink long enough mm-hmm. to not be able to function. And that's a horrible place to be.
Right.
Now, what's your thoughts here?
Nancy, when she goes to blaming you, how do you react to the accusations?
I have apologized to her so many times for whatever I've done because, you know, my ex and I divorced. I have bipolar. She's used that against me. She's used everything in the book against me. All I do is give her love, pray for her daily. You know, I've given her a devotion book. She goes through the devotion books. I've read them. I mean, she wants to give it over to the Lord, and she says she's going to, and then she just, the longest she's gone is 6 months sober.
And then
it's just right back to.
And it's so painful to watch her spiral and be blamed for it when you've tried to clean up your side of the street. Have you two ever tried family therapy, and how has that gone?
She's had several counseling, but she won't go with me. She's gone to AA with me, but she won't go to a counselor with me. And when we paid for her to go to a certain type of counselor that I went to, all she did was talk bad about me. You know, it was like... I don't think she's ever been honest with herself, saying, I'm the one that has the problem.
Well, because I think due to the unresolved trauma of the rape, she feels so much shame that she doesn't do the right thing, the best thing for herself. And she does it for a while. Maybe she does it all day, but then she gets home by herself. Listen. She chose to continue to drink over her daughter, 5 years old.
No, I know.
Now, that tells you how much shame is inside of her to do something as shameful as pick drinking over a five-year-old daughter. Mylan, looks like you've got some good stuff to say here. What would you say that might be helpful to Nancy?
Nancy, I'm so sorry you're going through this. This is very difficult. And but Steve's right on point. When people are living such chaotic lives, they're really living out and manifesting the trauma that is still a part of their history. And we have to look at history. This isn't about behavior modification exclusively. To change behavior, which is what Alcoholics Anonymous does, is very important. We have to have new habits, new relationships, a new determination to do the right thing with the right people and work the program, all those kinds of things.
Right.
I'm not discounting that. But we can do those things, but we also need to really aggressively face our history and the shame that is associated with it. I would suggest that shame is a very deep, has a very deep hold in your daughter's heart. And alcohol is the way she makes shame go away. And so to talk more about shame and for her to get into a place where she's actually with a highly trained trauma therapist that can help her work that through, that is the ultimate, she's got to deal with the addiction, but the ultimate driver here, based upon what you've said, in my opinion, is that trauma.
And Nancy, if she continues to refuse her own treatment, you continue to model what good recovery looks like by being in your own individual therapy, continue to go to Al-Anon, and let her know you'll hear her pain within a therapeutic setting. But if she continues to accuse you outside of therapy, you may have to take a break when she's active in her addiction to protect your heart.
Well, let me send you this 1 year life recovery prayer devotional. I'll send two. I'll send two life recovery Bibles and two life recovery Bible workbooks.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here another hour and 16 minutes and 20 seconds. We'd love to have you join us here. I want to talk to Katie from Dallas, Texas, listening on the great station, KWRD. Hello, Katie. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. So I just have a question. Since I was little, I remember being an introvert, and always said, even when I was kind of in my 20s, that I needed to marry a doctor or a pilot because I just can only be around people so long. Like, I love children, but people just wear me out. And so since I've had my own kids, and as life has gotten busier, I just find myself wanting to watch church on TV, and I know that's, like, not leading my family, and I've always taken my family to church. I mean, even 3 days after I had a C-section when we were in church. You know, it's just, I've always been that type A, but I can feel as I get older, I'm becoming more of an introvert, and, like, whenever we have activities that we're supposed to do on the weekend, I'm just, like, I just don't want to be around people.
Yeah.
And so it's becoming a little bit of an issue with my husband now.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
Is there a way to maybe, I don't know, is there a way to get past that? Is that normal? Do people, they're just not really big people? I mean, people.
Well, yeah, let me say this. Yes, let me say this. There's introvert and there's intra-alert. And there's, it's a difference in being, you know, you're with people, you find a way to enjoy it, but it drains you. You know, that's a true introvert. You're not the life of the party, but you're there and you're connecting with folks. But intra alert, you are always on alert because you have been traumatized and there is something else going on other than introversion. And you've been telling yourself it's all about being an introvert and wondering if it was normal. And it really could be something much deeper than that. And with that, I'll turn it over to Alice and Mylan for what they're thinking.
Katie, do you have insight into that, of how you might have been hurt in relationship in a way that compels you to avoid interacting with people today?
Maybe when I was younger, my parents were very busy, so I probably pulled away from them as a defense mechanism. But I do feel more just drained when I'm around people. I can interact with them, and I'm very good at interacting because I'm also an empath, so I can relate to them on a very big level, and a lot of times people will just pour out their lives to me, so it just becomes like, oh, I'm tired. I need to just, you know, be with my animals.
I do think that introversion is just a natural personality style that we have, but it can be exacerbated by life events, by medical concerns that may be taking place, or by anxiety, depression, or boundary problems. I think I'm also an introvert, Katie. I would much rather be sitting with a good book and a big glass of iced tea, and I don't want to talk to anybody. But I'm called and I'm compelled to be in relationship, but it's not easy for me. It's not my go-to. So I'd have you go into an evaluation for those couple of things that we're listing out for you, because they probably exacerbate your natural way that you approach the world, but they make it harder for you. And it's gotten even harder lately. That certainly can be part of being a mom with young children, because so much is required of us, and it pulls more than our natural fuel source allows.
That's so helpful. So you're the same way. That makes me just feel
better.
So,
yeah, Mylan, go ahead.
That's okay, Steve. Were you going to say something?
Nothing. No, I was just going to tell you to chime in here.
All right. Well, here I go. Katie, I'm an introvert. People don't often believe that. Terry's smiling at me right now with a little smirk on his face. He's our engineer. But I really am. I get exhausted in groups. I am not enlivened by a party. I do not like going to big gatherings. I like small and a few people, and so is my wife. But I have an interesting question for you. Most introverts and empathic types are not type A, which you suggested you were at one particular point in time. Now, I'm asking, sometimes a type A persona can be a false self, and holding up a false self to public can be very exhausting. And so I'm wondering if there is in some way a false self that you try to hold up that is really the fatiguing factor.
Oh, for certain. Because I have to act like I'm really good at customer service and I'm really not. So I have to pretend to be somebody that I'm not, when really I want to tell them to get over it. But I have to be like, okay, that's fine. I understand how you could see that. And that's not really what I think.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for me to be, you know, I just want to tell people what I really think. And sometimes that's hard.
So
you can't do that.
So
What should she do? What's her best?
What I highly recommend is that you spend some time, because we're coming to a close, Katie, but your question is so powerful. A lot of people hold up a false self to circumvent or mitigate shame. And to stop and ask yourself the question, what am I trying to project into the public that I'm trying to cover up for? And to spend the time really doing work on that with a person that can help you, a well-trained therapist can help you ask, what is really driving the bus and what is under here that I'm trying to cover up, and because it's exhausting. And I really think that's an important place for you to do some work, Katie.
And I'm just glad you called, because you're one of those situations where there is tremendous hope. And
yes,
to me, kind of the key here is that type A personality thing. It really is to know that was there, and to hear some of the other things there, I really think you're going to have a different kind of life. Alice, quickly, you have something you'd like to add.
Katie, we also have to evaluate, and I say we because I've had to as well, our disingenuous presentation. There's some deception involved when we're constantly saying things mm-hmm. that are not true to what we're really thinking.
Right.
And we have to figure out the balance of when we share truth, how we share grace, versus being deceptive in order to please people. And that's been my struggle as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that could help you in many, many ways. And I'm going to send you this wonderful one-year life recovery prayer devotional by Nick Harrison. And I pray that anybody, you know, you could have one, Gift of Any Amount, or our devotional book, 100 Days of Freedom from Shame. We love helping you. We want to help you. We want to help somebody that you know needs help. And I want to tell you, the saying of don't not do nothing. I think that's three negatives that mean you end up with a positive.
Anyway, would be a positive. Yeah.
Yeah. So
three negatives.
Don't watch somebody drink and drink and drink. And if you tried something one time, guess what? Their drinking is progressing. Try it again. They might be a little more ready, because first the person takes the drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the person. And it's a sad state of affairs when that happens. If you need some help, or you want us to help somebody you love or care about, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Every Man's Battle is October the 7th. In Orange County, one pastor paid for 13 of his staff to come, and we're excited to see them there. Intimacy in Marriage, October the 21st in Dallas. Register by October the 7th, and you save $200. Restore, November the 11th in Washington, D.C., and Lumina, November 3rd and 4th, Museum of the Bible. We're going to do another program right now, 1-800-229-3000. But if you need help or want to help us, it's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. My thanks to Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton, two people with great wisdom and compassion.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.